So we are on the top of Chaf Hey Amud Aleph. We're at the two dots at the top of the page, which is 8 lines down, starting with Itmar. So the Gemara says, Itmar Soa. So if you have excrement, you have feces, Al Bisaro, on his skin. O Yado Munachat Besakitze. Or if his hand is in the Besakitze. Now, what we're talking about here is a situation where a person has some physical excrement on him, it's a spot, but it's concealed. It's covered in some way. Now, why am I saying that's covered? Because if a person had excrement on him and you could see it, right, it was open, it was visible, then for sure you can't daven in that situation. We're discussing situations where can you daven when you can't see it, but it's on you. Because if you can see it, we know that if you can see the actual tzoa, then you have to distance yourself from it so it's not in front of your eyes. You can't daven when you can see the physical excrement. So the question that we're talking about, when the Gemara says here, right, so we just started, so where it says, Itmar, tzoa al bisaro, if he has, he can see that there's some excrement on his skin, but it's covered and it's concealed. Or in other cases, imagine he's next to a bathroom. Now he's not in the bathroom, but the bathroom has a window or something or an opening where he's sticking his hand through the hole and his hand's in the bathroom. Actually, we're in the top of Chaf Hey Amud Aleph. We're starting with the two dots, the new topic. Two dots, about 8 lines down. So in these two cases, either where there's physical excrement on him or his hand's in the bathroom. Now, the point is that part of him is in a situation which is messy, literally, and the rest of him is fine. So what's the halacha in that case? Is he allowed to say Krishna? Is he allowed to say
his hand is in the bathroom? Just the bathroom.
The bathroom itself. Okay. Yeah, his hand is in the bathroom. Meaning, you're not allowed to daven in the bathroom. You can't daven in the bathroom where it's dirty, there's physical stuff there. You were inside, right? If your head was inside, you were davening inside there, you'd be not allowed to. We're asking, what if only one part of your body is inside of that? Your foot, your hand. Only that part of it is extended into an area, which is problematic there. Or you have physical excrement on part of your body. It's concealed, you can't see it. But it means that part of your body is essentially in a problematic situation. So the halacha is, can you daven? So in that case, you have machlokas. So Huna Amar Mutar Likros Krishma, or Chisda Amar also Likros Krishma. So there's machlokas from Huna and Chisda. Huna says you're allowed to in that situation, or Chisda says you're not allowed to. So Amar Rava comes to explain this machlokas. Why is it that they're debating? What's the point? So my time is Rav Huna. What is the reason behind Rav Huna says you're allowed to daven in this situation? Because it says in the pasuk, Kol haneshama tehalel ka. All of my neshama should praise Hashem. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says, what's the kol neshama? He says, hapeh. When we say the neshama, we're referring to part of one's body which is expressing the praise of Hashem. That's the peh v'achosam, where the air is moving, right? That's where your neshama is. Neshama is neshima, right? To breathe. So your mouth and your nose, which is breathing and moving the air, that is the Chol Hilul, that's which is involved in the praising of Hashem. Below Shari Varim, but not the rest of your body. So all that's required, according to Rav Huna, is that your mouth, your nose, that's in the, your head, basically, is in a proper situation. But if you have another limb, which isn't involved in the praise of Hashem, according to Rav Huna, this in the Pasuk, that limb could be essentially out for this purpose. It's in the bathroom, it's got soa on it physically, that would be fine. Okay, so that's the explanation for this, the basis for the Shita Rav Huna. We'll go to Chista says in this situation it's Asr. So Chista Amar, Asr Likros Krishma, you're not allowed to say Krishma in these situations. My time, what's the reason why? My time, Rav Chista. Chista collects Mosai Tarmarna, Hashem Yikamocha. Dovin Melch says in Tilma, a different place in Tilma, it says, collects Mosai Tarmar, all of my limbs, all of my organs, everything in my body, is coming to praise Hashem, but to saying, Hashem Yikamocha, how great are you, Hashem, there's nothing like you. So the fact that it says that when you praise Hashem, Kolat Mosai, you have to have all of your limbs praising Hashem, shows you that one of your limbs essentially is out, one of your limbs is in the bathroom, one of your limbs has tzoa on it, so you're not in a situation you could daven, because not all of your limbs is ready to praise Hashem. That's why you're not allowed to daven in that scenario. Okay. The the you see the image from their mitzvah points to the fact that we pass in here like Rabuna, that's mutter the kros kriyas shema. Okay, in this situation. So one limb or there's one thing that essentially covered there the problem, you'd be allowed to daven. Okay, there's another case. So now we're going to like next discussion, which is the main point. Itmar. To that. So it's the itmar, another statement. Reach ra sheish lo ikar. What if you have a bad smell which has an ikar? And let's define what this is for a second. So there are bad smells that don't have a source directly in front of us that's producing a smell, that is itself decaying and producing smell. And you have a smell that is ain lo ikar, doesn't have a source. So what's the example of the reach ra sheish lo ikar? That's the soa. That's physically decaying, either excrement, some garbage, something disgusting that is decaying, right, roadkill. That is something which is a ruach ra sheish lo ikar, as a constant source producing the smell. What's a ruach ra sheish lo ikar? So Rashi explains that gas, when you pass gas. There's no physical source that is constantly producing this disgusting smell. It's something that comes from in our body, it's a natural process. And that when it comes out, once it comes out, there's not like there's an ongoing continuous smell. And that's called a ruach ha she'en lo ikar. So we're going to discuss both scenarios. What is the halacha when you're involved? This is very practical halacha maisa, both situations, where you have physical smell near, you know, coming from actual source, versus the smell that has no source. So we're first going to discuss the first scenario. Say it's my reach rasha yesh lo ikar, that has an actual source that's coming from. Oh, welcome. So we're at the two dots. The first wide line, Chosei Amadav. So the Gemara here says, Machloket. Rav Huna Amar, Marchik Tal Amot. You have to physically separate yourselves from the situation for Amot. Now let's look at Rashi. Rashi explains, Marchik Tal Amot, what does that mean? He explains, Min Ha'ikar. You have to actually move four Amot away from the source of the smell. And the important point is, Afo Fisharayah Ba'ilav, even though the smell might still reach you where you are, as long as you can tolerate it, you can, according to Rav Huna, you can still say Kriyas Shema, as long as you're four amos away. Now, what's four amos? And the reason why it's four amos is because the person has to be, we're going to learn this possibly in a second, it says that when you daven, you have to have it your place. It's a holy place. You can't have anything that is inappropriate in your place, meaning some kind of physical, disgusting thing that's smelly in your space. So we know that person, how big is a person's space? Dalad Amos, right? If you're wondering, how much space, yeah, everyone has to have Dalad Amos, Dalad Amos, or Kona for a person. So in a person's Dalad Amos, there cannot be any physical excrement. If there is, you have to move four Amos away from it. So now it's no longer your Dalad Amos. I don't care about the smell so much. The smell itself is not the problem. As long as you can, if it's destroying your Kavana, then you have to move away from that also. But we're talking about assuming you can tolerate the smell, but or the smell is not so bad. As long as you're four amos away from the actual physical item, then that's fine. The Kor Kishma. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Chisda Amar, Marchik Dalad Amos Nimakom Shepasak Haruach VeKor Kishma. You actually have to move four amos away from where the smell ends. So wherever the smell ends, you're walking away, the smell ends, four amos away from there. That's where you have to be, four amos away from that spot. This is very halacha maisa because in situations where you have a child, right, with diapers, who's already starting to eat regular food, so their toa, right, in the diaper is a problem for saying Kriyas Shema and davening. So how far away from the child do you have to be? We're learned that even suffix, you're not sure if there could be something there, you have to move away. So how far away do you have to move? The answer is, if there's smell, you have to move four amos away, from the end of the smell. You have to move four amos away from the kid himself. Okay, if the kid comes to you, you're in trouble. Right? You go, Daddy, I got a dirty diaper. That's when you say, go to mom. Okay, good. Okay, we all practice the line, go to mom. So Tanya, Kavasi, Rav Chisda, we have a proof that goes with Rav Chisda. What is that, right? So it says, Lo yikare kriyashma, v'lo keneged tzos adam, v'lo keneged tzos kolavim, v'lo keneged tzos hazerim. You cannot say kriyashma in front of the excrement of a person, dog, pig, the low connected sauce, turn the golden in front of the roosters, chickens, not in front of their excrement. The low connected sauce, ashba sharechara, or in front of a garbage heap, which has a bad smell because of the fact that there was excrement and decaying material inside of it. But in all situations, you have to move away. Ve'im ha'ya, we'll get in a second for exactly what you have to do. Ve'im ha'ya, that's the physical thing itself. It's, forget the smell per se. You cannot be in the same space as any of these items. Ve'im ha'ya makim gavo asar tzvachim v'namuch asar tzvachim. Yoshi the seat of the prayer Krishna. If, however, the item that has the physical excrement is 10 tzvachim above you or 10 tzvachim in a ditch below you. So that 10 tzvachim, why is that important? Because that is the height of a mechitza. Same is true important for Shabbos. It's in its own reshut. And since it's in its own reshut, that would be enough to separate you from the physical item. The Rishonim explained that this also includes that you don't see it, because you're not supposed to be able to see the actual physical excrement in addition to it being in your place. So that's some of a debate among the Rishonim, but definitely has to be physically separate from you, at least 10 tefachim. V'im lav, and if it's not 10 tefachim away from you, so marchik melo enof, then you have to move away so you no longer see it. Meaning if it's not elevation, it's not in a ditch, it's on the same plane as you are, so turn your body around, and then you're no longer seeing it. Or walk away so you can no longer physically see it. Either turn or walk away. The same halacha is true with regards to Shemon Esrei. Same halacha. Now, Reach Ra Sheish Le'ikar. Now, this is our discussion in the Brisa. If you just have the smell, and the smell comes, though, from something that is the physical source, is the Tzoa, so then, Marchit Al Amos Mimokam Shareach, Mimokam Areach, the Kori Krishma. You have to move 4 Amos away from the end of the smell, and then you can say Krishma. This is exactly like the opinion of a Chisda, who says you have to move 4 Amos away from the end of the smell. The end of the smell. Okay. Nimokom hareah. In other words, you say nimokom ha'asor. Nimokom hareah means from the place that there's the smell. When the smell has finished, you have to move 4 amos away from that place of the smell. That I think would be the shot over there. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it says, it's an Or HaChaim Siman Ayin test. It says, Haisu Toas Adam Me'achorav, if you have some excrement behind you that comes from a person, so tzarach laharchik al amos yimakom shekala haruach, shekala hareach. You have to move 4 amos away from the place where the smell ends. So that's the halacha. Now, again, that means it's behind you because you can't see it. If you can see it, even if you can't smell it, you have to move away from it. So in the case of smell, and it comes from a physical thing, you have to move 4 amos away from the smell. Not from the kid. And if you can see it, that in itself is a problem. So two issues with regards to the excrement. Number one, you can't see it, so you got to turn away from it. Or it's got to be on a higher plane or lower plane than you are. And number two, you have to be 4 amos away from the actual end of the smell. Okay, let's go ahead. So Amar Rava, Leitzochasa Ki Hamasnisa. We don't hold like this particular brisa or part of it. We'll see in a second. What's that part going to hold like? Ella Kihadatanya, like we passed in Rabbah says like a different brisa. What does this other brisa say? Laikari Adam Krishma, Lo Kineged Soas Adam. You cannot say Krishma in front of, when you're in front of Soa of a person. The Lo Kineged Soas Chazerim, not in front of the Soa of a pig. The Lo Kineged Soas Palavim, in front of the excrement of dogs. Says Manshinasan Oros Latochan. That's only true when you are using the excrement and you put hide, leather in it, in order to tan the hide. They would use that substrate in order to tan the hide. Now, Rashi points out, when you put the hides inside of it, the reason why is that produces an incredibly disgusting smell, more than dog poop would normally smell, more than the excrement of a pig would normally smell. But he's referring to only those two. The brisa, however, is not referring to the excrement of a person, although it lists all three together. Rashi says, it's referring the excrement of a person is utter even when it's not mixed with hide. But the excrement of these animals is only utter when it's mixed with the hide. But if it happens to be that you notice that there is excrement of a dog in your physical space, that you can, according to this brisa, you can daven even though it's there, because it's not as bad as when you have the hide to it. That's a really bad smell. Here, the dog excrement by itself is not going to be a problem. Okay. Bo mi name of Sheshes. They asked the following question first. So we've so far discussed the halacha when you have a smell that comes from source. What about a smell that has no source, meaning when someone passes gas? Not direct, well, that has a source, but it doesn't have an ongoing thing producing that particular smell. So bo mi name of Sheshes. Rech Rasha Ein Loiker, if you have a bad smell that has no source from, to it, right? Passing gas, mahu. What's the lacha? You're allowed to say krishma. What is the lacha in the situation? So Amr Lahu, he said to them, Atu chazi hani sifi debay rav. You know, go look at the map in the base measures where the guys are learning. I'm going to show you something. Take a look inside, and you'll see the hani ganu vahani garti. Right next to each other, there's a guy sleeping and there's a guy learning. I'm straight next to each other. And guess what the guy sleeping is doing? Well, once in a while, when a person's sleeping, he has not control over his physical body, passing gas. And yet, there are people learning in the Beis Medrash. You know, people like getting up and leaving. So what he says is that's allowed. The Hanimin of the Divrei Torah. It's only true that you are allowed to learn Torah in the, when you smell gas, when you smell someone gas in the Beis Medrash. That would be fine. And what's the reason why? The Aruch HaShulchan explains that the reason why is because the whole halacha of the smell that comes from passing gas that has no source, a ruach rasha ein lo ikar, that's not asur midiraisa. That is only something which is asur midirabanan. And midirabanan, they were mekil when it's going to cause bifal Torah. Because if you're in the Beis Medrash and you have the smell and we're probably, look, can't be here, to start lifting up and taking your sfarim with you, if we're going to have to lift, take the whole shir with us outside, right? Please be careful, guys. That's going to be Mavat Torah. We're not going to be learning as much as we would have. But if you were just simply saying Krishna, which we'll say in a second, it says, Aval Krishna lo, if you smell gas during Krishna, then you do have to stop your Krishna and wait till the smell ends. Or walk away until you no longer smell the smell. Because that will not preclude you from saying Krishna. There's not the same degree of issue with regard to Krishna. It will not prevent you, whereas by learning, in this situation where people are sleeping and they're around you and they're, it's very common, and it'll end up with causing a lot of bittul Torah. So not to cause bittul Torah, since the issue itself is almost only midrash rabbanan, they were made so by divrei Torah. And furthermore, it says the divrei Torah nami lo amaron ella dechavre. It's only your friend's smell which you're allowed to learn, but aval didei lo. But your own smell, you're not. You have to stop. Learn. Now, what's interesting is that so the Rotami Derbe Yona, actually I saw it in the back, points out that actually you would think it's far the opposite, because what bothers you more, usually it's the smell that bothers you more than your own. Okay, fine. However, so why would you think that your own smell is more of a problem? So Rashi says, Rashi here quotes, so if it's your own, it says you have to wait until the smell leaves.
You know the source. You know it's you.
So you know it's you. I don't know if anyone's playing. I would think, number one, you could prevent it. Meaning, someone else around you, the guy sleeping, the guy's next to you, you can't stop him from doing his business. And therefore, what you're faced with is bittul Torah. So what are you supposed to do? If it's a particularly gassy situation, there's a guy who had Mexican meds before he came in, something very gas producing, some beans, whatever, chon. Oh, there's no chon during this year.
And then my list.
The bean with chon? For that reason. Okay. But if there's a business situation, in the middle of that shear, well, you get up every 5 minutes and leave. But if it's your own situation, then you're allowed to hold it in. Now, we know that if a person has to go to the bathroom for either, you know, urinating or for defecating, to hold it in is about the shock absorber. That you're not allowed to do. It's usher. But to hold in gas is not usher. That you're able to do, if you're able to. Sometimes you can't. I get it. But at least you couldn't. That's one possibility. The other sheet that you're showing them hold is the ra'ah. And the ra'ah holds, unlike Rashi, that what the Gemara here means is that it just means during the time that the gas is coming out, you should be learning. Meaning, don't learn while you're actually passing the gas. The smell we're not worried about. That's mutter just like it is any other smell, because it doesn't have a source. But during the time that you're actually passing the gas, you shouldn't be learning. That's the ra'ah and how we understand the mark. Okay, let's go, Vaichin.
This is the ra'ah.
Yeah.
Is this objective? Like, before, you can't finish the chance.
We're talking about two things. We're talking about Ruach Rashi in the liquor. We're talking about now the gas, passing gas.
Yeah. Just in general, talking about two of the ones we're taking to the bun on.
Yeah.
Right.
Something
else.
Oh, mean something that's just like what? Right. I would believe that they could. I mean, if it's distracting for Kavana, maybe you shouldn't. But it doesn't sound like it would be usher. Because when we say it's usher in this situation, if you did, you have to repeat your doubt. So, again, what I've seen here is showing them here that don't talk about other non. Okay, let's start with this.
The getter
of the deraisa, let's start with that. The getter of the deraisa is actually something that's physically decaying. I mean, if you have ruach hashishal ikra, right? You're talking about smelly food that you don't like the smell at all. It's a particular curry or whatever kind of spice that bothers you. That, even though it might bother you, and therefore it might detract from kavana, it's not usher to daven in front of that food because it's not a decaying item. The halacha of the ruach hashishal ikra is specifically regarding something that is decaying, that is refuse. Specifically. So that's specifically the halacha there. Now, when it comes to, therefore, to the fact that you're asking me if there's something that someone burns something, so there's someone smoking, right? A person doing a smell of cigarettes or cigars. So if that is in his environment, he's allowed to daven, even though there's even a source. Even if there wasn't a source, whether there is or isn't a source, those situations, even though you might not like the smell, might not be pleasant to you, or even pleasant to a lot of people, it would not preclude you from davening if you're able to daven, if you're able to get your kavanah together to daven. But something which is a decaying, something from defecation or from rotting roadkill, that would be something which is aser deraisa. And then, again, the only example that we have so far, something which doesn't really have a source, is passing gas. Because everything else has a source. And if that source is a decaying source, aser. If it's not a decaying source, even if it's unpleasant, it's allowed. Okay. So we're up to Sudan. Itmar. Soa over. So what if you have a passing, it's on the move. You are davening and you see a guy moving the wheelbarrow. You're on the kibbutz, right? You're on the kibbutz. You went to volunteer and now you're davening Shmishma in the field. I think Shmesh out in the beautiful environment of the fields. You're getting inspired by Marabu Masecha. As you're saying Marabu Masecha, the guy's got the wheelbarrow. Just came from the outhouse over there and he's passing by with the stuff. So overus, what's the halacha? So you have to stop and wait until the guy passes by. So by Amar, what's the Likros Kirishma? No, you don't even stop. Keep going. Rav Amar, usher Likros Kirishma. Rav says, you're not allowed. So Amar Abaye says, Mina Aminullah, how do I know that you are allowed to keep diving, saying Kirishma? Tithna, it says in the Mishnah. Now this Mishnah is in the context of a Mitzorah. And the Mitzorah himself is Mitame. He's Tame, and he can make other people Tame as well when they are in the same tent as is he. Okay, but there's a unique issue with a Mitzorah, and this is really brought in by Rashi, which I'll say outside just to explain it. Rashi says that a Mitzorah is Mitame specifically because it says in the Pasuk, Badad Yeshev Mechutz Machane Moshavo. He's got to be on his own, separate, physically outside the camp of Israel. But because it says Moshavo, outside the camp will be his spot, will be his dwelling place. It means that he's only Mitame when he is dwelling somewhere, when he's set in his place, when he's the Moshav, but not when he's Omid the Holish, when he's moving. So the Mishnah is going to distinguish, which we're about to read, between when the Mitzorah is staying put versus the Mitzorah where he is Mitame versus when he's on the move. And again, there's a custom that when he's on the move, he's not Mitame. This is unlike other things which are Mitame, like a dead body. If a dead body is passing through a room, and it is on the move constantly, but you're in now the ohel with this dead body, even though it's on the move, that's like Mitame. This is a specific there supposed by a Mitzorah, because it says, Moshavo, his dwelling spot. So it sounds like, therefore, the Chazal understands, his Tumah only occurs when he is in a set spot. The unique halacha by Mitzorah, that I just learned myself tonight, I didn't know that, so he's Mitame, when he's the Moshavot, because that's what the Pasuk describes his situation. So we have the following Mishnah. It's not. Hatame over tachas ilan. If a person who is Tame is standing under a tree, the Hatar over. And a Tahor person, so the Mitzorah is standing under the tree, and the Tahor person is passing through. So in that case, Tame. The Tahor person becomes Tame because, again, the Mitzorah is fixed in his place. Under the tree is an Ohel. He's Mitame, the Tahor person. Tahor omeid, tachas ilan, the tummy over. The opposite. If the Tahor person is standing under the tree and the Mesorah is passing by, then in that case, Tahor, he remains Tahor. He omed, but if, in that situation, the Mesorah stops, he says, hey, how you doing? You stop just saying, shakes your hand, whatever, doesn't shake your hand? Then you're Tameh, because he stopped. The same would be true by a stone which is has a stone which has tzaras. We know tzaras can happen on a person, on clothing, and on a physical structure. So if a stone for the physical structure has tzaras in it, so it's metame also in the same guidelines as the Mitzvah himself, only when it is standing, but not when it's on the move. Okay, so let's go weiter. V'rava amar l'cha. Now remember, that was a bayis source. So bayis saying, look, when you have an item which is on the move, not considered to be in your same place as you, and therefore it's not mitame, but oil. So the same is true when it comes to this physical excrement. It's on the move, not part of your space. It's not going to be a problem for your davening. So for Rav Amar Lecha, Rav says to you, wait a second, totally different. Tassim bikli usatalya milta. The halacha by Mitzvah is specifically a regard to a person's fixed place. Why is that? It's based on the pasuk, as we quote in Rashi, Badai Yishim Mechut Machna Moshavo, that he, the Mitzorah has to be separate on his own. He has to sit outside the camp, will be his Moshav, will be his place. So only when he's in his place is he going to be Metame. That's what it's all about. What I would say is the focus is on the item, the person who is being Metame, the source. However, Hacha Rava says, Bahai Machanecha Kodesh, the overarching principle when it comes to davening is that your Dalet Amos has to be Kadosh. It's about you. It's not about the item, whether it's considered fixed in its place, not fixed in its place. It very much might be true that the soa, this excrement, as it's passing by, is not fixed in place. But it's still your Dalet Amos aren't clean while it's there. Granted, it's fixed or not fixed, I don't really care. But you don't have a clean Dalet Amos. That's why you can't daven. Okay, that's Machot Shem Rav in the Bayi. We pass him, by the way, in a situation like Rava. Amar Papa. So Papa says, Tichazir. If the mouth of a pig is considered Erasami. What that basically means is pigs are walking excrement. The mouth of the pig is, because what they eat, they're eating the garbage. So of course, their mouth, the muzzle is full of some kind of decaying, disgusting stuff all the time. So the answer is Chita. That's obvious. I mean, what are you telling me? Of course, I know that. The answer is no, Chicha. Ah, without the Salik Minahara. No, you see the pig coming out from the river just to go bath, basically in the river. It's still considered to be dirty because it's so dirty that it's like caked in that just passing through a river is not enough to cleanse it from its disgusting situation that you can't stop in there from it. So they would know. It's the soroveris, and then plug that. Soroveris would plug into that machlokes. If the animal stops, it's not overis anymore. Exactly. But the chiddush at that point. For Papa to tell you that the mouth of the pig always has that status, and therefore know that if you're davening among pigs. You know, I was actually at you think it's like such a crazy thing, right? I keep thinking about the kibbutz, but we had an annual barbecue, radiology department barbecue, and we tell people you can bring family and pets. They're allowed to come to the barbecue. So you can imagine the typical pets, cat, the dog, right? Someone brought their pet pig last year.
People have pigs now.
You know, so now me too. This is not a Jewish thing. I haven't any Jews that have pet pigs, but I had a coworker that brought their pet pig to the. So I have to check to make sure that if I'm not making a bracha on my hamburger, I'm not watching just dying in the Dalet Amos of the pig. So it was halach l'maisa. I had to look around every time they had a bracha. I had to make sure that the pig wasn't nearby.
Because
it's because it's eating out of the garden.
If
other animals, other animals don't eat out of a garbage bag specifically all the time. I mean, like the idea is that chazir literally eats in garbage. I don't think that's why in this case. It wouldn't apply to camel doesn't count either. Camel is also coming. I hear that. But this is specifically because of the way in which it lives in squalor. That's literally what a pig does. Okay. maybe a domesticated pig which doesn't live in squalor and they have a different life. I thought you were going that direction. Yeah, I thought you were going to tell me, what if this one lives in the house and it's like, you know, it's pristine, it gets like the doggy wash every week, and maybe that would be a different halacha. I thought you were going that way. Okay, fine. Okay, I'm going to review it up. So you see this. Suffix toa asura. If you're not sure if there's soa, then you cannot daven it. Suffix may reglain. If you're not sure if there's urine in the area, then mutarim, you're allowed to daven in that situation. Ikadami, other people say it like this. The suffix soa bias mutaris. If you're not sure in your house whether there might be in the situation some excrement, then mutaris, because of course the chances are there's nothing there, most likely, if you're not sure. Be'ashva, but if you're in a garbage heap area, then and you're not sure if there's some excrement near you, then asura, then you're not allowed out. Again, because chances are there's something there. Suffix may reglain. Let's say you're not sure if there might be urine nearby, so then in that case, afilu ba'ashva nami mutarin, even if you're in a garbage dump where there may be more likely to have some here and there, it is still mutar. Okay, now what is the basis of this? The sabalaki harav ki hadra Rav Hanuna, they hold like Rav Hanuna. The amr of Hanuna, Rav Hanuna said, lo asr Torah ela keneged amud bilvad. It's only asr to daven in front of the stream of urine as coming out, but not once it's hit the ground. That's according to Rav Hanuna. Kid Rav Yonasan, the amr of Yonasan, it's based on the following psukim. Rami says he actually takes two psukim, which seems to be a contradiction, and explains each one based on the following distinction, which we will explain. It says that you should have a place outside of the camp to go there, meaning to the bathroom. That's where you're going to go to the bathroom. There's another pasuk which says, meaning you have to have a bathroom that's separate from where you're going to be in the machnas, davening and doing the rekedusha. And furthermore, it says, another pasuk, it says you have to have a spade, right, a spade with which to turn over, you know, to dig up some earth and cover your soa. So, wait a second. One says you may have to go out of the camp. One says you have to actually have a spade to cover it up. So, haketzad. The answer is kam begedolim. The one that says you have to cover up the excrement and conceal it, that is with physical excrement, right? That's with number two. But kan begetanim, but when it comes to urine, that doesn't have to be covered. That just has to be away from your dal damos, and you're fine. It doesn't have to be physically covered. Okay, so it says from here, Alma, Ketanim lo asra Torah ela keneged amud bilvad. Therefore, it's only, you see from this passage that it's only asra when it comes to urination while the person's urinating. That's why they have to leave your space while they're doing while they're actually going to the bathroom. But once it's finished, you have to cover it. Being on the ground itself isn't going to midrash to prevent you from davening. Whereas the physical excrement, that you have to cover it and conceal it in order to be able to daven. That's different. So midrash is only the time of urination. Where it says, "Hanafal arashari," once it falls to the ground, it's allowed. But rabbanim hudegazirbe, but the rabbis permitted it. The rabbis asked it. Midrabbanan, even when it's on the ground. V'chigazirbu rabbanan, but the rabbis only asked for something when it was certainly there. Of a mistake on Logosra, but when it was suffake, meaning you're not sure if there might be urine here, then it's only on the ground, then it is mutter. What is this? So this sounds like a very long-winded way of saying a very simple concept, which is suffake derives to le chumra, suffake derban le kula, right? Isn't that what we say all the time? So the Gemara took a whole roundabout way to explain the da da da, and then it's only because. To get to the basic idea of why it's simply say, the reason why, when it's urine on the floor and you're not sure, it might be there, it might not be there, that you're allowed to daven, even if it's in an ashma, because Tzavi Tzorban L'Kula, why should you say? Tzavi. So here it had to come out to say, Lo Gazru Rabbanan. They didn't even go there. So Riyashid explains that sometimes we have a Tzavi Tzorban L'Kula, there are sometimes we're machmer, even by Tzavi Tzorban L'Kula, in a situation, for example, like a Dover Shesha Matirin. A Dover Shesha Matirin, right, normally if it's a Dover, Batel, you say it's, you know, you're allowed to be batel and shishim or whatever situation. But if it's a dover shishim atirin, so we're not going to apply the kula and we're going to make it up. But so if you only said it's something to rabban and lakula, so lakula, maybe sometimes you're not mikil. In certain situations, might not be mikil. Or you might say, look, I want to be machmir, then I'll go ahead and try to even be careful and there maybe is a suffix situation. But if I tell you, here, this is why Rabbi Yoshua is telling us, but here what they're trying to go, the Gemara's whole unique language here is to tell you, Lo Gazru Rabbanan. They literally made a geder to their gzera to say up to here and that's it. They only asher vada urine on the floor and that's it, nothing more. They only asher the scenario. If you're going to go ahead and say, well, I want to be machmir even in the suffix, you are taking upon yourself your own personal gzera derbanan. The rabbis never said a blanket statement across the board for which sometimes you're allowed to make though. It's a very specific halacha for which only applies in that scenario and nothing more. And therefore, even if there might be a situation where you might think to be machmir, you don't have to be. Do you see the distinction? That's why I didn't say something to Rabban Lefula here. Instead, said that b'chei gavna lo gaz rabban. That's the difference. Okay. B'vadai nakama. So, how much, or like, when? When is it that when you have urine on the floor, that you have to, mizrabban, you're not allowed to. So, Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, kod man shmetapchin. Anytime that's still damp, it's still able to wet things. B'chein Amr Rechana, Amr Yochan, kod man shmetapchin. Same shita, the chenamer ula calls manshim etapsin. However, geniva mishum the rab amar calls manshir rishum o nikar. No, anytime you can still see, even though it's dry, but you can still see the urine there, you can still see the red, the yellowness, whatever, there, then you're not adab. So amar rab Yosef, shar le mari le geniva hashtasa. He says, let, like, basically, like, you know, geniva, like, let Hashem, like, you know, put you aside here, because hashtet soa, when it comes to actual physical excrement, right? Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. We have a statement in the name of Rav. Remember, Ganev was quoting Rav, and we have another statement in the name of Rav from Yehuda, who said, "Kevin shekarmu paneha." Once the excrement is crusted over, meaning it's dried up already, the physical excrement, mutter yulad af in there. Meaning, if it dried up excrement, yulad af. It's very like. And that's more chamor than Meir Glaim on the floor. Meir Glaim on the floor is only derabanan. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if the urine has dried up, for sure it should be mutter. If the excrement, which is asr mitaraita, is dry, it's mutter, it's certainly urine, which is asr mitarabanan, it's dry, it should be mutter also. So how can you say in the name of Ra, that's asr? It makes no sense. So the answer, Abai says, no, wait, my chazis is not the ha. Why are you relying on that statement of review the Amarav? Samachaha. I'll give you another statement in the name of Ra, and that is Rabba Barbahuna. So Rabbi Buhuna Amarav, he says the following, so afu kicheres basura. If you have excrements, you have the feces, which are as dry as pottery, right? That's how dry it is. Still asr dav in front of it. So that would say maybe the same is true by urine. It's dried up, it's still asr. So, echidami tzoa kicheres. What would be the halacha? What's the example when you say that it's dry like pottery? So Amarav Chana Amarav Yochan Kotman Shazor Kave in the Mishbrachas means it's still got something adherent inside of it to keep it in one piece, that if you were to throw it with a glove on, of course, right, then it will not break into pieces. It won't break into pieces because there's still some little bit of tiny moisture inside, some thing that's holding it together. And that's why it's hotter. Ikadamri, others say, it's not your goal of, in the fresh, some say when you roll it, then it doesn't break into pieces. So I'm a Ravina. Ravina says, Havikamina Kamekir of Yehuda. That was in front of Yehuda Medifte. Chazitzoa. And we saw an excrement there. So Amr li ayein, he said, take a look at it. E karmu paneha ilo. Check to see, is there starting to crust on the outside, meaning it's starting to dry up on the outside? And that would be what there if it was. Okay, different, and some, again, there's different opinions here that we're listing. Either dry in the surface, or dry like pottery, or that may be usher, or certainly everyone would agree that if it's so dried up that if you just have to throw it or roll it, it would break into pieces, that's definitely allowed. So I'm really ayein, or ikadamri. The other saying he told me ayein check e maplay apluye. If it's like starting to have cracks and crevices in the surface, meaning it's starting to obviously an earlier level of drying before it crusts, that would be mutter. So my havela, what's the halacha? So itmar so chacheres ameimar masura umazutra mumuteres. So what's the halacha? Well, the halacha is the machlokas. Okay, one opinion says asur, one opinion says mutter. So amarava. But the halacha is tokecheres asura. If it's dry but still held together firmly, then it is asur. But meiraglayim calls mash metapsin. But when it comes to urine, it has to be moist. So if you touched it, the moisture would transfer to another item. So neisim meiraglayim calls mash metapsin asurin. But it says in the following brisa, if the urine is still wet, it's asur. Nivlu, if it gets absorbed in the earth, or yashu, where they dry up, then mutar, and then it's allowed. The Gemara says my love. When we say that they are absorbed, it must be just like it dried. What does that mean? Ma yavshu, the ain rishuma nikar. When something is dry, we mean that it's gone. It's completely gone and not noticeable at all anymore. So as nivlu, when we say that it's absorbed into the earth, it means the ain rishuma nikar. That's completely no longer noticeable, meaning it's dry and no longer you'll see any yellow stain at all. Where it says, Vahar rishuma nikar asr, but that would imply that even if it's dry, but you can still see the yellow stain, that would be asr. That's against what we just paskined, saying that urine is only asr when it's wet. Now it sounds like it's dry, but you can see its yellow stain, there would be asr as well, based on this brisa. So the Gemara says, no, don't bring a proof from this brisa, because the Tamiya, according to your understanding, a Marisha says in the beginning of this brisa, it calls Mashi Batafsin, who's asr. It says in the beginning that any time the urine is wet, that's when it is asr. Well, that implies ha rishumo nikar, but if it's no longer wet, it's dry, but you can see the stain, that would imply that it's mutter, only when it's wet, it's asr. So rather, you have to say, from this brisa, you can't bring any proof at all. There's no proofs you brought from this brisa. Nor it says, lema ketanai, let's say the following, is a machlokas among the tanai, whether or not urine has to be, you know, completely not noticeable or only when it's wet. So here's the following discussion. If you actually have the latrine where you pour, you, it's empty right now, but that's where one urinates into. So that's also the cross kriya shema connecto. You're not allowed to daven in front of the urinal, even though there's no urine at this moment in it, because it is a disgusting thing. And same is true pitsoa, right? Any toilet, even though there's not anything in it at the moment, you can't daven next to it. And also when it comes to the urine themselves, if they're poured out from this bucket on the floor, if it's absorbed, it's mutter. If it's not absorbed, it's asr. So Rav Yossi Amar, Kosman Shematapsin, Rav Yossi says, no, not whether it's absorbed or not, simply whether or not it's wet or dry. That's the distinction. So my nivlu, umai lo nivlu, the Kamar Tanakama. When the Tanakama says it means it's absorbed or it's not absorbed, what do you mean by absorption? So Ilema nivlu deimetapsin, if he meant it's absorbed and no longer wet, and when he says it's lo nivlu, meaning it's not absorbed, meaning it's still on the surface, it's wet, it's the metapsin, it's still wet on the surface. Well, the atzer of Yosef Lememar Potanch Metapsin, who's atzer, anytime that it is wet, it is atzer. Harishimunika Shari, but if it is dry, but you can just see it stain, Hayatakama, that's the same thing as Tanakama says. Meaning, if whether or not it's absorbed means whether or not it's wet, what we're basically saying is, then Rav Yossi is adding nothing to the discussion. He's saying the exact same thing the Tanakama says. Ela nivlu, rather, when the Tanakama says nivlu, that means it's dry, the ain nishuma nikar, and you can't even see its stain anymore. Lo nivlu, when he says lo nivlu, that it's not absorbed, he means it's dry, but the rishuma nikar, you can still see the stain of the urine. And in that case, it would be asr. Now, asr of Yossi, and Rav Yossi comes to say, if you can still see its source, it will be permitted. You can still see the stain. In other words, the way we're explaining this brisa is, the Tanakama holds, if you can see the stain, it's asr, even though it's dry. And Rav Yossi comes to say, no, it has to be wet. If you can see the stain and it's dry, that would be mutter. So it's actually machlokas, this whole discussion we've had so much until now, is not only machlokas on the Amorayim, it's machlokas among the Tanaim as well. The Gemara doesn't like that, because usually, why are the Amoraim debating this? Why is we have different statements in the name of Rav, right, between Geneva and between the other opinions, Rav Rachan and others, Rav Rachan, Rav Yochan, Ula, all these people are debating this issue. If the Tanaim are debating it, what are they adding to the discussion? We know sometimes Amoraim debate things, but if the Tanaim debate, they're adding to the debate. This is the same debate a generation later. So the Gemara doesn't like that. It says, no, rather, we're going to re-explain the Braisa. Look, the Kuli Alma, really the Braisa is as follows. The Kuli Alma calls Nashim Metapsin with Asr. Everyone agrees that if the urine is wet, that's when it's Asr. Harishimu Nikar, and if it's only a stain, if you see a urine stain, that's fine. That's Mutter, your lies off. Everyone's going to agree. The Hakab of the Tiachamat Latiach Nikabanai was actually arguing about the Shir of Yosti and the Tanakama is different levels of dampness. Okay? Is it damp that if you touch something through it, it makes the thing wet? But if you then take that thing, which now became damp, and touch a third item, it doesn't carry enough moisture with it to make the third item wet. That's called sefeach. Sefeach, not last piach, is so damp that when you touch it and then you touch another thing, you can make a wet, damp mark on the second or the third item. Okay, that's a different level of how wet something is. Make sense? Okay. Piach also is important in terms of Shabbos, but that's also regarding squeezing things. When things are so damp or so saturated with moisture, is it the fair or is it the fair hanat lapiach when it comes up in the Shabbos when it comes to skita? Okay. Let's go on a little more. Try and get to the next shidah. So, yared lichol, yochel lalos. Let's say a person goes down to the mikvah, and the Mishnah says if he has time to come back up before it gets to Nesachama, then he should, if he has time to get back out of the mikvah in time, so let him first get out of the mikvah and then say Krishna. But, here we go. It says, and if you don't have time to get back up, so in that case, you should cover yourself with the water and you should say Krishna covered by the water because you're not going to have time. Now, the Gemara says, Lema Tana, let's assume this Mishnah must hold, Sama to Rabbi Eliezer. Must be this Tana hold, like Rabbi Eliezer, the Amar Ad Nesachama, that you can only say Krishna until Nesachama. We had a Machokas. Either it's only until Nesachama, because it's B'Shashbacha, when you wake up in the morning. When does the morning start? When the sun rises. So that's the end of that bit. But the other opinion we have, which is that you have all the way until the third hour of the morning, because who wakes up 3 hours into the day? Right? The kings. The kings wake up 3 hours into the day. So in that situation, we, Kol B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Melachim, we can all say Krishna until the third hour of the day. But it would seem that this Mishnah would be following that opinion that says, right, you have to get out of the mikvah in time, or you have to cover yourself in the mikvah. Must be that Nesachama is the last opportunity to say Krishna. The Gemara says, no, I feel came Rabbi Yeshua. You can even say that this opinion, this Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yeshua, which says really the end of Krishna is 3 hours into the day. And why is it that you're like in some rush to say Krishna? Yeah. Right? The Vasikin. The two are the Vasikin. The Vasikin are those who say Krishna with Nesachama. The Amr of Yochanan, Vasikin Hayigomrin Osa in Nesachama. Those Vasikin, right, the Tzadikin that would say, they were really extra scrupulous in their davening, would make sure to say Krishna specifically as the sun rises. And that is, in your Vasikin minion, of course, that is what they're trying to aim for, to finish the Krishna with the rising sun. So if a person is of the practice, they normally is Vasikin, and he has a chance to get out in time to say Krishna out of the mikvah, so let him get out of the mikvah and say Krishna with Nesachama. And if not, then say Krishna in the mikvah, because in order to get the Vasikin, you can't have time to get out, you have to sit right down there. In a Hanami, you still could be Yosei if you sit later, because you still have 3 more hours into the day, but if someone has a practice to always daven the Vasikin, there's some leniences, right? Like, what if a person has a situation where they're going to daven without a minion? Let's say he always daven the Vasikin, now he's in a situation where there's no Vasikin, a minion available. Should he daven the Yechidus, or should he daven Vasikin, or should he daven the minion? So a person who may be, so there are situations in which we'll pass him that if a person always davens Vasikin, he may continue to daven Vasikin even without the minion available to him in that situation. As opposed to someone who says, that's why I get up early this morning, I'm going to daven Vasikin, and I'll chaf Vasikin, but I'm going to miss the minion. That person should probably daven to the tibur rather than the extra mila of davening that one time. Okay. Let's continue. Very good. Another two dots. There's like two more lines. We'll get to another dot. So it says, Zim lo yitchas imayim v'yikaret. So it says, Bahari libo roes ha'erba. We talked about in that situation, you don't have time to get out. You should daven while you are in the mikvah. But wait a second. We said before, we talked about this in the earlier Amud, that you can't have your heart, there has to be a physical separation, like a gartel or a belt or clothing, that separates your erva from your heart. The two shouldn't see each other in the same airspace, let's say. So if you're in the water, right, your neck is out, your head's out of the water, but your heart and everything below is all in the same space. That's a problem. So Gemara says, Amr Lezer, Vitem Racha Bar Ava, Bar Acha, Mishmele Ravina, Vimay Machurim, Shanu. What we're talking about is dirty, dark water. Where it's so dark that you can't see inside the water, and therefore your heart does not see what's below it.
That's the thing. In Mikvah, it's a lake.
You just, yeah, you can stir up the floor of the, make it a little dark. Although, I was in Eretz Yisrael in Rav Beis Shemesh, and we had to, I met with my last uncle, we bought some kalim that morning. He just moved into an apartment. He bought an apartment, and we were there at the same time as his apartment. He bought some kalim in the morning, breakfast. We're making eggs, we were eggs in the morning with the lachmaniyot. And he had to type of the spatula, the frying pan. So we went to the kalim mikvah, right outside the shul, and I think it was Ramat Pesham, it's like the chassidish area there. I opened the kalim mikvah. I can tell you, it looked like it was coffee. It was the color of coffee. And I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know what the deal is. We dipped, but yeah.
Wow. Don't know what else was in
there. We did wash out. Yeah, we need to cleanse the temples after the mikvah. Okay, so yeah, you can have a mikvah, which has apparently, what does it say here? It has to be. It was achurim didamuk ara. It was so dark. It was like earth color. It was like coffee color. That's how dark it was. Okay, so Tanur Rabbanan. I was here. We'll go a little more. I'll have him get there. So, tell me about it. Mine flulin, if you have clear water, so the Bryce says, the clear water, Yoshe behem ad savaro the kore. You can stand in the water until your neck is out of the water, the rest of your body is in clear water, and you can dive. Some others say, you have to stir up, as you point out, the bottom of the lake or the bottom of the ocean, so you have some dirt moving around to stir the up the water so that you cannot see, your heart will not see your erva. So the Tanakama, so according to the Tanakama, the first opinion said you can daven in clear waters with your heart in the same space as the erva. So how's that? And that's the problem. The answer is, sorry, legal rule is the erva. Your heart is seeing the erva, that's usher. Should be usher. The answer is no. Savar libero es erva. Mutter, he holds. And no, there's no prohibition. Your heart's allowed to see where your makom erva is. That apparently is the debate. Vaha ekvoro es erva. But wait a second. He says your heel can see the erva. That's a new one for us. That your heels shouldn't, not only should your heart not see the erva, but your heel should not see the erva as well. So, Savar, this opinion also holds, ikvoro es erva, your heel can also see the erva, also look at it. Itmar, wait, now this is like a new, now we have to get to the bottom of this one, because Itmar, what do you say, wearing like a toga, so you got the belt, so your heart is separate from your erva, but your heels can see your erva, right, under the cloak. So Itmar, ikvoro es erva, mutter. If your heel sees the erva, so it's just under the cloak, and it can see it under the garment, then that's fine. No gea, but if you're sitting, you ever sit cross-legged, right? So when you sit cross-legged, where's the heel? It's right next to the makom erva. So that, if it's touching, even if it's covered by a towel, covered by a clothing, if it's no gea, abayam aser, you're not allowed to daven that situation. Rava amar mutar, other things are allowed. Rezid maki la mahashmaita haki said as follows. So hina bread ravika masla lahaki said like this. No gea, if it's touching, give it a cluster. We have previously said if it's touching, if your heel is touching your erva, it's machloka. But this opinion, this way of learning the statement, understood that everyone said that's usher. But if it's roe, if all it is the situation that your heel sees the erva, then vice is usher. Rava amar mutar. Rava says it's going to be allowed. Why? Look, because l'mita tor l'machi sharis. We're not like angels that we can have a situation where we can daven, every single piece of our body is separate from our erva in all times and situations. So the heart, yes, but the heel, no. We don't have to be careful about that. The hilchasa, and let's just end here with this final thing. The hilchasa, nogea aser, if it's touching, your heel touches your erva. It's important to halacha maisa, right? It's covered. Obviously, you're wearing something or your bathing suit or a towel or something covering your erva and your heel, but it's touching, that's aser. Roe, but it's only seeing, that's mutter. Okay, we're going to stop over here by Amar Rava. We'll pick up next week. The plan is...